and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebukule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Hey, just before the episode, this is a quick reminder to say if you're hearing this, it means you are not yet a subscriber of the Stretch Podcast. We don't run adverts on the Stretch Podcast. Our focus is on giving great conversations with equally great guests. So our income for the podcast is directly from you, the listener, you, the subscriber. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. In the meantime, you will get a partial episode. We trust that you will love it enough to subscribe. Hey, dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebupule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today, I am in conversation with Zanele Njapa, who is not a stranger to the Stretch Podcast. She is returning. And it's so funny that, you know, she was on the podcast in 2020. But for me, it feels like she was on the podcast last year or even 2 years ago. But it was 2020 and it's such a while back. And I suppose it's because, you know, of social media. I see Zanele so often on the socials. And also from time to time, we do DM each other and intellectualize and laugh up a storm. If there's one thing I do with Zen, is that we laugh quite a bit. We geek out. She's highly, highly intellectual. For those of you who've listened to the episode that I had with her in 2020, you will recall how smart she is and how, I mean, you know, she's an intellectual, I suppose, and academic inclined, very corporatized. And so every time we converse, it's highly, highly intellectual. But then it's also just softened by a lot of laughter. So I really admire her a lot. So it was 2020, and it feels like it was just last year, really. And we were talking about unlearning, you know, in line with what was happening in 2020. And today's conversation is almost a continuation of that, if you really like. If you think about it, we are talking about managing changes in our lives across the board, how to manage a change and how to maintain a habit. So the conversation delves far deeper into management of new habits and new changes. And she mentioned something so profound. They're saying, you know, a lot of us sometimes think that we are changing, we've changed. And then you find that 90% of what you are is still intact, and what you've changed is probably 5%. So a lot of us who claim to have changed, new me, new year, new me, we don't change at all. And that's because change is actually very, very difficult. More difficult than we care to admit. So the conversation is really about that, professional changes and personal changes and what has happened since 2020. So she gives us a bit of insight on what is going on in corporate in terms of movements of professionals. You'll recall in 2020, there was a big, big, great resignation, I think it was the great resignation, where people were leaving jobs, starting entrepreneurial journeys, and so on. And now there's still movement, but it's more stable movement. It's moving across the company, like you'll be moving from HR maybe to communications, or from communications to PR. But movement is within and inside corporate. And it seems like people want to be a little bit more stable, no more risk-taking and so on. And I found that very, very fascinating. And we get a little bit also into the personal, space. And for those of you who are subscribed, you are in for a treat, because I think from, you know, around minute 40, minute 38, we go personal. And Zanele, who's generally very private, you'll never hear, even if you follow her on the socials, you'll never see anything personal. It's always work. It's always professional. She shares some personal stuff, which is preview for you who are subscribed. And I think you'll enjoy that very much. I found it very, it was an honor, you know, because I know people like her who are highly private and introverted. It says a lot if she opens up like that. And I don't mean that she's opening up about, hey, Dilotse snacks. I'm just saying that she becomes open and vulnerable, which I really enjoyed. And I think you'll enjoy it too. Speaking of the subscribed, I want to thank all of you who, after my solo last, the last episode, because last week we were not here, after my solo, decided to subscribe. And to those of you who wrote to me, not a lot, around, you know, 8 or 9 people wrote back saying that, I mean, I can't read all your letters, but the sentiment was that you did not realize how serious it is, this whole subscription thing, which I found so interesting. But you see, this is the thing. This is why it has to be repeated and repeated and repeated. It is a new model. It is a new business model, but it's not very, very new. It is happening in most renowned podcasters have subscribers. They're actually even doing both. They're doing promotions and advertising, and they get their listeners to subscribe. And once again, and I don't want to harp on this because I spent a whole episode talking about this. Yes, you are. When you subscribe, you get full episode. Yes, that's fine. That's part of it. But when you subscribe, you're not subscribing to get full episode. You're subscribing to support the work, to keep the work going, because I don't do this alone. I have a team of young people. I've just recruited an intern who calls himself the sound guy. He's the sound guy, and he's going to be responsible for making sure that the sound, especially for you who are subscribed, the sound is so crisp. If there's the one thing that puts me off with when it comes to podcasts, especially audio podcasts, because I generally don't like to watch a podcast. I don't like to watch two people on Zoom talking. It just doesn't make sense to me. The YouTube that I watch is when they are both in studio. Somehow it just makes it better. But if there's two people talking via Zoom, like most of my podcasts, I don't understand why it has to be on YouTube. But my team of millennials are saying that's the way to go. So the Stretch Podcast is going to be on Zoom very soon. On YouTube. Which then brings me to the next announcement. So this is the last episode for a while. So we will be back in 3, maybe 4 weeks. Reason being, we've recorded quite a few episodes and the sound is corrupted, because we were trying something and the sound is corrupted and we can't find it back, and it's just a nightmare. So and this has happened before, by the way. Some of you who follow the podcast quite closely, you'll remember this happened before. So I am now going to re-record conversations with about 8 or 9 guests, plus the ones that I have already on my calendar. So I'm going to be recording that, because the last thing I want to do, which we've done before and it's hectic, where you record an episode and then that weekend it has to be edited and produced. It's a lot. It's too much. So generally what happens is that I have 3 or 4 episodes already recorded, and then all we do is just edit and produce. While I record others. So there's no pressure. There's no episode this week. So this episode, this conversation that I'm having with this person is going to be the one that is produced. It's not nice. It's not sustainable. But equally, I don't also like to have 10 episodes recorded in advance, because of how the world is changing. Things are changing so rapidly. So you'll be having a conversation with someone about this topic, and then a month or two later, it's already stale. It's already stale. In as much as the kind of guests I have are timeless type of conversation, I still want to at least have four. If I have four or five in advance, I'm fine. But longer than that, I don't know. I really don't like stale stuff. I don't want you to listen to a conversation that I had with a person in March and you're listening to it in August. I don't know. It's just me. As the Pretorian people say. So yeah, brace yourself. You're going to miss me for a bit, but it's for your own good. So it's to re-record conversations and to fine-tune the audio. Because once the audio experience is crisp and beautiful, people tend to stay with the podcast. If I listen to a podcast and the audio is dodge and I don't know what's happening and I'm hearing shh and I'm hearing I switch off. So we are cleaning up audio, especially because we have subscribed listeners who really deserve the crispiest of the crispiest. So this is the last episode. I will be back probably end of May, but most like definitely by June, which means we won't be off in July because I'm normally off the whole of July. So we won't be off in July and we won't be off in August. I think it will take us through, if we do take time off, it will be maybe a week, 1 week or 2 weeks. But give me May so that we can sort all this thing out, so I can record my episodes and then I can be like at peace, so that I know that you're not recording and then producing and record. It's a bit too much. Okay. And thank you once again for those of you who've subscribed. And for those of you who still need to subscribe, honestly, you are subscribing to support the work so that I can then create these internship programs, so we can have other channels, and so that we keep going. Because as you know, everything costs something. Whenever you get something for free, know that it has costed someone something. And one last thing before I give you the conversation with Zanele, I'm going to read her bio very quickly as well, is that it's not that you are paying for a full episode. You can subscribe and still listen to short, to partial episodes. The whole principle is I am contributing to a product that I consume, even if I consume partial of it. That's the principle you want to run with. That's what we are trying to do here. It's a new concept, but it's not brand new. There are many, many renowned podcasters who rely heavily on their listeners. And it's a relationship. It's clean, it's crisp, it's straightforward. It's not that one where I am amassing lots and lots of people because I want to advertise Omo. And I'm really sorry that I always harp on Omo. Okay, it's 12 minutes of intro, but I think you can forgive me because I wasn't here last week. So you can take it. Let me read Zanele Njapa's bio and then I will give you the conversation, because I have sort of touched on what we are going to be talking about. Okay, here is her bio. Zanele Njapa is known to her awesome clients as the Unlearning Lady. She is the world's leading voice on using key unlearning principles to support the world's best organizations build cultures where, instead of annoyed and frustrated by change, people are excited to transform and to be innovative. She is the CEO at the Unlearners. She's an award-winning businesswoman, Forbes contributor on navigating organizational change, certified neuro coach for transformative leaders and businesses, chair of the Unlearning Child Foundation, award-winning TEDx speaker, faculty at Duke Corporate Education, host of the Unlearners podcast. Zanele not only exceeds clients' expectations when facilitating, but she expertly brings her youthful, fresh, and diligent energy to challenge long-standing dogmas that truly turn interventions into meaningful, trackable, results for organizations. And she's only 30, guys. She's only 30. I just love that fact. And without further ado, I give you my conversation with the incredible, most awesome Zanele Njapa.
Hey Zen, you are back on the Stretch Podcast. I would like to say by popular demand, but it's actually me.
You're the popular demand.
It's by my demand. You know, we were saying before we hit record that it's been forever, but it doesn't feel like forever to me because I see you so often. I love what you're up to. I love seeing you grow because when I hey, you are progressing every time you are on levels. So what are you up to? How are you, first of all? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm feeling that growth. I'm in a place where I really get high on growth, but the process of it, not just the results. So in a really good place right now and really enjoying it. It's so great to be here with you again.
So tell me, what have you been up to? I saw a podcast. I don't know if it was a podcast or a TV show. What are you busy with currently? What's your scope of work that's making the growth happen?
I think definitely the podcast. So we have our own podcast, the Unlearners Podcast. That definitely keeps me nice and busy. But also, I think it's just at the moment, one of our big priorities is just expanding our reach, reaching more unlearners, doing more work. So conversations like this are happening quite a lot. So podcasts on various other platforms, really looking to expand and to increase the conversation. I think another thing that has been happening quite recently, I mean, we recently did have International Women's Month. So there was a lot of woman-focused work that we did. There was an exciting panel with Meta around International Women's Day as well. So a lot of really exciting key projects. Lots that's moving in the background, but like I said earlier on, just so much growth that is really exciting at the moment.
And then it's not just the results, the whole process of it. You are changing quite a bit. Are you softening? Are you deepening? What's happening to you?
I love that. One of the key things that I'm actually finding is how I've been able to lean more into the divine feminine. And it's interesting because at the moment we're growing our team and there's so many cogs that are moving in the business, from our change in offering to expanding our client base. Mm. And initially, Libby, you'll know this about me, I used to lead very, very much from even hyper-masculinity. And so one of the things that I've just found has helped in the growth of the business is just me learning to integrate both the divine and the masculine, and just learning how to do both in a way that works together in the way that it was intended, and understanding that it's that beautiful integration that really helps us tap into the fullness of our potential, the fullness of our impact, but also leading others and facilitating really a growth of an entire idea and a team. So that's been...
Yeah, no, that is so beautiful. I just love the way you put it, because honest to God, there is no new thing that can be birthed with one energy. You can't birth anything with masculine. I love that you said it's hyper-masculinity. We all come from there. I have deliberately gotten into my femininity from last year. Just, you know, I rest, which was foreign for a while, but now it's almost home. But the whole thing is balancing it. You know, it's about, is it time for action or is it time for rest? So I'm happy you found that balance, because yes, your hyper-masculinity does so much damage to a female body, which is a topic for another day. We'll talk about that some other time. But when you are in a female body and you are on a go, 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 it changes who you are. It changes your whole being, also physically and so on. Okay, so let's get into the topic of the day, which is managing personal and professional changes. And I suppose where this is coming from is since 2020. I mean, we had a conversation around the pandemic. I feel like it was 2021 or maybe late 2020. And I remember 2021, there was this big thing called the big migration. where people were leaving corporate, starting their own thing. Others were just leaving for leaving's sake,
Great
which
resignation.
then talks to a lot of moving parts, a lot of changes. What's happening is because you are in that, you know, space. Tell me what's happening with changes in professional and personal with the people you meet.
So yeah, there was the Great Resignation, and it was a huge thing. It was a huge trend, and there was a lot going on around that at the time. But now I think what we are seeing at the moment, at least on our side, what we're seeing with our clients at the moment is still very much a lot of struggles with retention within organizations, still individuals moving in and out, but not at the rate that we had at the time. What we are seeing at the moment, though, and this is probably one of the things that I find most interesting, is the big conversation around how do we make the experience within the professional space one that is worth holding on to? Because as much as we, yes, now accept that everyone's tenure is completely different from what we had before, how do we create a work environment that both allows people to contribute when they are here, but also allows for them to leave? So instead of us saying, how do we keep everyone in here, make this amazing organization, turn us into a family, God forbid, but how do we create a system and even policies that make it okay for people to leave when they need to, so that we don't struggle with the skills that we need when people leave, but also we shorten how much resources we need to replace that person, but also the time, the turnaround time between having someone come in, having them actually be competent. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of conversation that I'm really enjoying, because people are now going, or organizations and even individuals are now going, we don't so much have to hold on, but maybe the process is about learning to let go, but let go in a way that doesn't hurt, let go in a way that works, so that we can allow this beautiful flow. I think for me, this is one of the biggest ideas around unlearning and relearning, is to allow that energy to flow, because when it stagnates and you hold on, then nothing new grows, no one develops. We just stay in the stagnation of what we've already known to work. And then everyone gets hurt in that situation from what we're seeing.
That is, oh my God, that is so significant. I'm going to tell you something, but I'm not going to mention the corporate's name because I don't want to get in trouble. So last year sometime, I was working on and off with a huge South African brand. And my mandate was help us. You know, corporate is getting into the healing space. So their wellness division is now really becoming proper wellness, which is exciting stuff. For people like you and I, especially me, because I'm more the healing type of and so I was given a clear instruction that, you know, we want you to help them heal, inspire, but not so much that they leave. Do you understand how contradictory? and I remember not knowing how to respond to that question, because the kind of work that I do is very hard to water down. And it's also very hard to do some work with someone. And then, so it's almost like when they see, they can't unsee. So it's something I can't stop. I mean, one of the managers even said, motivate them, but not so much that, but she, because, you know, we can't afford that right now, but we want them healthy. So I love what you're saying, that let there be flow in organizations. Let us develop people and trust them enough that if you want to stay, and also trust them to leave if they need to leave. That's exciting. That I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. So are people leaving and are they changing their what's happening, their professions?
They are still changing. People are still changing their careers, but not so much what we used to see before. We're seeing a lot more lateral moves now. So, for example, if someone was in the HR space, they would then integrate or move into an HR role at an opposite or different organization. We're not seeing so much of what we saw before, of moving into entrepreneurship, for example, or moving from corporate into a completely different industry or space, not as much as we were seeing before. So before, what we were seeing, the insights were something like more than 50% of the people that were leaving their organizations were going into a field that was completely different, going into an industry that was completely different, going into a role that was completely different. But now I think there has been almost this rebalancing amongst individual. We have a sense of wanting a little bit more normalcy. Whereas before, when everything was up in the air, people were more open to something completely different, more open to starting afresh, more open to shifting perspectives and spaces. But now we're definitely seeing more of the usual that we had seen before. So people just moving even across the organization, staying within the organization a lot more and not so much of the drastic changes.
Why is that? Why do you think that is? Is it the year? Is it something in the air? Why is the stabilization? Are we in the new normal? Is that the reason?
I would say so, because initially we were storming. So there was definitely this, whoa, everything is completely different. And the funny thing about change as well, and this is why I often say that if you want to create a brand new New Year's resolution or you want to do something completely new with your life, the beginning of a period of time is a really great time to do that. Because like I said earlier on, everything is up in the air. It's like when someone says that beautiful, I think it's a Coco Chanel quote, that when a woman who cuts her hair is about to change her life or something like that. Because one, what happens in the brain is that we associate changes. So if I've cut my hair, my brain is telling me I'm a new person. Maybe especially if I've cut my hair after a long time, then there's going to be something very different there about me, the way I carry myself. I'm going to feel like a new person. So if I want to make changes, let's say, for example, to my health, to how often I drink water, to my career, really almost gravitating those changes or attaching them to something else, to other changes, would be a really good idea. So I think that's what we saw happening during the pandemic. Because there were so many changes in our environment, they prompted our brains to say, we can change differently. We can completely reinvent, rewrite the script, because clearly life outside of us does do that. Clearly this solidness or this constant predictability isn't something that needs to happen. Yeah. But what happened afterwards when everything settled, and I would say around 2022, a lot of us were starting to really go back to, or maybe recreate this normal that actually, in my opinion, looks very similar to what we had before. And this goes right back to some of the data around changing habits. You think that you're showing up as new, but really, in essence, 90% of what you're doing, what you're saying, is still very much the same thing. But you think you're completely different. So I think that's what happened. People went back to going, okay, this is what I know works. Yes, the context is different, but how do I take the context and fit it into this version of me rather than how do I take me and move into the context? So I'd say that definitely is what happened as now people start to think about their careers and the shifts thereof as we're going, okay, there is some kind of normalcy here. Let me not rock the boat too much. Let me just do something that feels as comfortable as possible. Yes, I know I can try something new. Yes, I know hybrid working does work, but how do I fit it into the parameters of what I know works?
That's so interesting. We are creatures of habit for real. And I don't know how to ask this question because, I mean, you said it so beautifully, but I want to just go a little deeper. When you said people want to be new and feel new, but 90% is still very much the same. And I see it in my work as well. It does happen. A person will go through my stretch program and gradually they go back, which then probably brings us to the topic. How do you manage a change? If I say I am going to do yoga daily, which is an impossibility, how do I stick to that change and make it such that it becomes a living habit in my life?
So I want to start here, maybe going back to what you were mentioning a little bit earlier on around the difficulty of changing, even though novelty does spark this newness and excitement in the brain. And it's so interesting, during Valentine's Day, I did some interesting interviews around the neuroscience of love, the neuroscience of affection and attraction. So that was always really interesting to talk about, because you start to see that beautiful spike that happens during what we call the honeymoon phase. When everyone's super excited and there's this novelty, you've got this deep release of dopamine within the human body. And so also because of the serotonin that's released, it decreases the amount of cortisol and our ability to even pick up what we don't like in the person. So even if the person has all of these aspects, we're not going to see them in the initial phases, because the beautiful hormone cocktail that's happening inside us is not going to allow us anyway. And then over time, then you settle into, oh, actually, I don't like the way he dresses. Actually, those things have always been there. But because of where you were in the relationship, in your hormone production, in the interaction, you didn't pick them up. So that's, I think that that's definitely.
Did you love the episode? If you'd like to listen to more, you know what to do. You simply have to subscribe. The subscription link is on all of my social media bio. It is also on the show notes right here on this episode and all the other episodes' show notes. You simply click on the link and you follow the process, and we will see you on the other side. For now, I wish you love and all green lights, as always.